just close in prayer, open in prayer. Lord, bless your holy name. We thank you, Lord, that you are so intimately available at all times, day or night, for the old or the young, male or female, whatever language we are, whatever distance we are in this earth, you're there for us. We're so very, very grateful. We have this afternoon service, Lord, and we just ask that you bless the people that join in. Bless for those that were not able to be here this afternoon. And bless those that have come, especially. And Lord, it just shows where our interest is in the things of God. Thank you for loving us, seeing us through, and being the answer to all our need. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Shall we stand and sing 245, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds in a Believer's Ear.
How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. If this is so,
let's sing 256, Shackled by a Heavy Burden. And it won't be long before we have testimonies, if anyone has one they'd like to share.
Shackled by a heavy burden, then the hand of Jesus
Just have another one, Mary Hart, number 198. And then if there's any testimonies, we'd like to hear.
I'm Mary Hart.
Be seated and let us know if you have a testimony by a raised hand. Anyone at all? Sister Diane. Pauline. I did that indeed.
I do thank the Lord that His mercy rewrote my life, that He is faithful to me even when I'm not faithful to Him. That He's promised never to leave me nor forsake me. I just want to say I love the Lord with all my heart and I thank Him for Calvary.
Amen. Pauline this time.
Just this morning when Harold was saying about the peace and quiet of the morning, I was just thinking, yeah, my heart's been a wee bit turmoiled lately, and we went out to the farm and there's baby chickens and baby ducks and baby rabbits and lambs, and it was so peaceful seeing God's beautiful creation just coming into its springtime. I just felt so relaxed. I could have just gone to sleep in the grass. It was just absolutely tranquil, and I just thank the Lord for His way of calming people down in their hearts. Thank you, Lord.
This guitar home was given to me. And that was right. I got home, was tired, but I slept. When I woke up this morning, I just heard this voice, "What is this hindrance?" And I said, "Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I'll get rid of it straight away." And praise the Lord. They got rid of my joy. Thank you, Lord.
Praise Him. Right behind you, Brother Tom.
Last week, my niece passed away. And when I was told this, I asked the Lord with his spirit. And the Lord gave me a dream the next night. And I dreamt that in the woolshed, they had a long drop outside this woolshed, and I was coming out of the woolshed, and I saw my niece coming down towards me, and she was looking so young, and she had no legs, but this, in the spirit, she had her legs on, and she was walking. And she looked at me and I looked at her, but I didn't know it was her until I fully got the message that she had passed away. And then I believe, Lord, she is with you. Yes. And then the next night, the Lord showed me a dream. In this dream, that I went to her house in Auckland. And as I was walking inside this house, and it was just pure white, And when we got up there, Wednesday or Monday morning, because we left Sunday night, and we got up there Monday morning, I walked inside that house, and it was pure white. Yeah, it had sheet from the ceilings, all around the walls and the windows. Yeah, and it was just pure white. I said, thank you, Lord.
Amen. Oh, it's good.
Yeah. Amen.
Do we have any other testimonies?
Just as you know, Pauline and I were away last weekend, and in quite a worldly situation, worldly funeral and group that we were mixing with, and we really missed the fellowship, and we were quite upset that we missed the camp in Christchurch too. But it's just so wonderful to be back in the presence of the Lord here today, and really moved by the preaching this morning and his Lord's influence in our lives. We give him thanks. Amen.
Just in case there's another one, is there any other? Well, mine's not a testimony, but it's a little experience that just shows you how lovely that the Lord is. I was on a bus last week going to the Bay of Plenty, and on a lovely day, and I was right up the front, and I had a very clear view of everything. I know the driver personally, his name's Wee, and running in front of him on the road was a Weka, and it had about 6, 7, 8 little chicks about the size of a regular baby chickens, you know, like a regular chook has. About 6 or 7, they were just running around behind her, and they were following. Actually, no, they were in front of her. The mother was behind. And then out of the blue, would you believe, out of the middle of these 6, 7 little chicks, was a rabbit or hare about as long as my fingers there to there, bouncing along with them. Just right there. I'd never seen the likes. I've never seen a hare so small. It was all white amongst the weka chickens. And I just said, thank you, Lord. That was really nice. And the driver just slowed the bus down a little bit, you know, just so we could see it easy. It was really lovely to see. Anyone seen a hare that small before? You've seen one? I've seen plenty of hares. I used to shoot them once. But not a little one like that, running with the chicks. It was just so uplifting. So I said, thank you, Lord. I appreciated that. Okay. Well, we say thank you for the testimonies. And we'll just ask Brother Howard to come after we've sung this short song that I had here that I've lost again. Oh, yes, I have. And we sung God in Your Rivers. And when I was sitting down there with Barbara, I'd already selected God in Your Rivers. And then we sung it here before we come in this morning. So let's sing God in Your Rivers. Let's think of the words. Stand to sing, and then Brother Howard will come.
God in Your Rivers, You lead me across the world. God in Your mountains, You can't tunnel through. God specializes in things more impossible. He can do just what no other can do. God in Your Rivers, You lead God across the board. God in Your mountains, You
seated. I just thought of another testimony that I had too, and I thought it just shows you how the Lord is in tune with you. The same bus on the same day, Barbara ran me down to catch that bus at 7:45. It was leaving to go to the Bay of Plenty, and I realized I didn't have my phone with me, which I needed to for business. I needed the phone. I'd left it charging when I just didn't pick it up. I had to go out. And the bus was due to go in about 4 or 5 minutes, say 4 minutes. And they were really pretty sharp and going at that time, and they were filling up. And I thought, oh, Lord, what will I do? What can I do? I couldn't ring Barbara because she told me as she put me in the car to take to the bus that I'm going to go to Countdown, that she had needed to get something on the way back with the car, our car, which we had, we haven't got now, we've sold it. That was another point. However, she went back there and I thought, well, I can't ring her. And then I thought, Lord, what am I going to do? Because the guys expect me to ring from where to be over in Rotorua and a few other things. I'm going to pray anyway, Lord, can I get Barbara to pick up my phone, which she's in the car, and she won't be able to hear. And then I saw the driver, who was about from here to the back of the church there, on a chair, just sat down. I thought, ah! So I raced out of the bus, ran over to him and said, I'm a spot of bother. Have you got a phone? And he was looking at one. And he said, yeah. And I said, can I borrow it for a moment? He said, yeah, but not this one. And he ran back to the bus, picked up his other phone that he had, and handed it to me. And I thought, well, here I go. So I rung Barbara's at home thinking that she might have come home, and she was it on this landline one? Yeah. So it was, and I said, can you get here in about 3 seconds with my phone? She said, I see where there is. Click, she rung up on me, whizzed on down, and the fella said to me, don't worry. He said, I'll hold the bus for you. So we're about 3 minutes late leaving, but I thought, well, thank you, Lord. I wouldn't have thought it was possible to happen, but it did, for a Lord looked at me. He does these things for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Brother Howard.
Is to perform. Praise be to God. What if we could stand for the reading of God's word from 1 John chapter 2 verse 15. The name of the sermon is, as I mentioned this morning, I thought there'd be a lot more people here, but obviously they didn't take my word for it. That's all right. What is wrong with worldliness? What is wrong with worldliness? And it reads from 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of God, Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Isn't that wonderful? Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you again this afternoon, and pray, Lord, that for a few moments as we consider your word, that you'll speak to our hearts. We commit this word to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for your glory. Amen. You may be seated. This was actually part one because it's quite extensive and I didn't realise. So we're having part one today and part two tonight. Look at all the faces. No, tomorrow, next afternoon. But I pray it'll be a blessing to you. A lot of scriptures. You know, brother and sister, we just need to read from the Word of God. It's what God says, not what I think, what no one else thinks. It's what His Word says, and that's what we focus on. This is God's absolute authority, the Word of God. So here we go. The Word of God admonishes us to love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. And there has to be a very good reason for that, and why God has so opposing to the world, and His children being caught up with the world. I cannot emphasize right here that the things of the world are extremely dangerous to a believer. You know why? Jesus spoke about it, warned you, warned me. So we're going to speak about this for a little bit. And that is what we want to do by the help of the Lord, is talk about that. We're going to look at it today. What is wrong with worldliness? People say, oh, that's worldly, but what does it mean? And I just thought this was a very good word from Brother John Wesley's definition of worldliness. Now listen to the definition. Worldliness is that, whatever it may be, that which cools my affection toward God. That's pretty good, Sister Shirley, isn't it? That whatever it is, what worldliness is that which cools, tones you down. My affection, my love toward God. So if anything is cooling you down, your love for God, be sure of this, that's worldliness. I don't care what it is. It could be your pet cat, a dog. It could be anything. It could be your new car. And there's a wealth of things, but we want to go on. I thought that was very good. Basically, Jesus said you cannot be serving God and the world. It's not possible. You have to accept one or the other, but not both. That's what he said. Let's turn to Matthew 6:24. I'm just going to fly through these because there's a lot of scriptures. Save you looking up, just look on the screen. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon meaning the treasures and riches and possessions or whatever is trusted in this world is mammon. So mammon is referring to our treasure, that which is dear to us. That's why I say it could be 1,000 things. Matthew 6:21, Jesus said this, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I don't care what we say. What's always on your heart is your treasure. Say what you like. So, oh, no, I love the Lord. Okay, that's nice. But what's on always on your heart? That is your treasure. He said so. So we either treasure the riches of this world or we treasure the kingdom of heaven. I know what I'm treasuring, the kingdom of heaven. The sooner we get out of here, the better. Who wants to get out of here? It's getting close. So let us clarify this concerning the riches. The Bible is not warning us concerning riches. It's not. But rather, the love for them. That's your problem. Our problem. What was our first reading in 1 John 2? Love not the world, neither things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you love the world, the God's not in you. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. That really makes you think, doesn't it? If you're hankering for the world, just remember this. Say what you will, the love of God's not in you for him. Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. You ever think of that? Yeah, the problems of the world, listen to the news, all about this, all about that. The bottom line is the love of money. Politics and all its problems is the bottom line is the love of money. They want money. They want power, so they get money. It's the root of all evil. Which, while some covet after, they have erred from the faith. That's talking about believers. They start erring when they start coveting after it and are pierced themselves through with many sorrows. There's a horrible outcome. Jesus was saying that you cannot be in love with him and in love with someone else like the world. Cannot do it. He'll be jealous. For God is a jealous God. The bride of Christ is a separated people. Those that have no longing for the world, but a longing for God. The spirit of the world has such a different attitude to the Holy Spirit. It's diametrically opposed. So that is the direct enemy of God. The world is not just different. Sorry, it's against God. You get that on you, you're against God. The Bible uses the word warning against the spirit. The love of the world carries an evil spirit with it. You may not see it, but it's there. Trust me, there's a demon power accompanying this worldly desire. James 4, verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Enmity. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Now, let's get this straight. We're not talking about people. We're not against people. But we're against the spirit of the world. So there it is. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Now that verse we just read is in plain English. You do not need an interpretation. I've got to wear this, and so do you. And you folks out there, you have to wear it as well. We become an enemy of God. So that on that basis, it is absolutely impossible to be craving for the things of the world as well as for the things pertaining to God. You're either one or the other. You cannot serve both. I'm going to have to wear it, and so are you. It's something you've got to actually take on board and say, Lord, wow, I never sort of thought of it like this, but you don't like it at all. If I'm fluffing around with the world and flirting with the world, I'm not with you. So what other things of the world, or worldliness? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, for all that is in the world, one, the lust of the flesh. Two, the lust of the eyes. Three, the pride of life is not of the Father, but it's of the world. So I'm just going to go through a few of these, not all today. The lust of the flesh, what is it? Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. These are laid out for you and I to know. And right at the top is adultery. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in the time past, Paul says, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, brothers and sisters, why the whole church should be here? People think you're joking. I'm not. These things are extremely important. I hope they listen to it or see it on the video or whatever. But we need to address this. Otherwise, we go on blind leading the blind. So the lust of the flesh is a carnal nature of men. The animal nature, we'd call it, without any sense of moral corruption. This animal nature, with all its cravings, which incite or arouse to sin. The flesh represents mere human nature. The earthly nature of man, without the divine influence of God, and therefore prone to sin and opposed to God. That's what it does. When the lust of our flesh prevails, it ignores the warnings and convictions of the Holy Spirit and leads the poor soul down to the road of destruction. That's what it's sent to do. The flesh that you and I live in is the most unspiritual thing there is. Your flesh has no interest in God. Zero. Remember that. The fleshly passions have nothing to do with God. The flesh, with all its unhealthy cravings, is no more interested in things of God than the devil is. Your flesh, the nature you are born with, can never be trusted. Your flesh can never be trusted. Did everyone hear? Say amen.
Amen.
Can never be trusted. No wonder Jesus said, ye must be born again. You've got to receive a new life from him. It will crave for carnal and perverse things that automatically draws you away from God. Automatically draws you away from God. The lust of the flesh needs to be checked on the hour. The lust of the flesh needs to be checked on the hour. Because Satan is just waiting to take advantage of all your fallen nature, just as he did with Eve in the beginning. It makes no difference whether you go to church or confess this certain doctrine, the menace of the fleshly lust will lurk in the background of your life until we're changed. It's a warning. It's simmering behind there. The only thing that's going to change it is to be transformed. We have power over it with the blood of Jesus. We must stay under the blood. So the Bible says we have to watch for our adversary. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. He says, Brother Peter, be sober, be vigilant, which means wakeful and on the ball. I looked it up. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He has one goal in mind, is to destroy you. Doesn't matter how attractive the things of the flesh are. One end result is to destroy you and put you into hell. His greatest target is the flesh of the children of God. So we need to be awake to see what he's trying to do with our souls. In James 1:14, but every man is tempted, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, tricked. Then when lust hath conceived, listen to this scripture. When lust hath conceived, it conceives. It's a seed thought comes in and starts building. You build on it. It bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, done its work, it bringeth forth death. That's for all of us. That is the fruit of the lust of the flesh. Certain death and separation from God. Charles Spurgeon said this about the deceitfulness of sin. Very good. I want you to really listen and try and read it so you can understand it. He's referring to sin becoming exceeding sinful. Romans 7:13, he quotes, beware of light thoughts of sin. Beware of those light thoughts of sin. At the time of conversion, the conscience is so tender when you first come to the Lord. The conscience is so tender that we are afraid of the slightest sin.
Think of this in your own life when you first met the Lord. Young converts have a holy timidity and godly fear lest they should offend against God. But alas, very soon, the fine bloom upon these first ripe fruits is removed by the rough handling of the surrounding world. It is sadly true that even a Christian may grow by degrees so callous that the sin which once startled him does not alarm him in the least. Used to worry in the beginning, now it doesn't bother you. These are words of truth. I know it. By degrees, men get familiar with sin. The ear, which the cannon, they fire those cannonballs, they're very, very loud. The ear, which the cannon has been booming, will not notice slight sounds because the heavy noise, it just cuts away from the little things. At first, a little sin startles us, but soon we say, is it not a little sin? Is it not a little one? Then there comes another, larger, then another, until by degrees, we begin to regard the sin as but a little ill. And then follows an unholy presumption. We have not fallen into open sin. Comes to that. That's what we think. True, we tripped a little, but we soon are upright in the main. We may have uttered one unholy word, but as for the most of our conversation, it has been consistent. Just so true. Christian, beware how thou thinkest lightly of sin. Take heed lest thou fall by little and little. Sin, a little thing, is it not a poison? Who knows its deadliness? Sin, a little thing. Do you know little foxes spoil the vines? Doth not the tiny sea coral, insect, it's so tiny you can hardly see it, it builds a coral on the reef. Build a rock which wrecks a navy. That's a good thought. A tiny insect can build a coral that will wreck an entire navy. Do not little strokes of an axe fell a lofty oak? Will not continual droppings wear away stones? Sin, a little thing, it girded the Redeemer's head with thorns and pierced his heart, made him suffer anguish, bitterness, and woe. Could you weigh the least sin in the scales of eternity? You would fly from it as far as a serpent, as from a serpent, and abhor the least appearance of evil. Look upon all sin as that which crucified the Savior, and you will see it to be exceeding sinful. I think it's a very good illustration of the deceitfulness of sin that can trouble you even tomorrow. Now, worldliness cannot be compromised with. The roots have come out. It's no use cutting off some outer branches. The roots have to come out. So I've got to get rid of that.
but actually it goes right down to the roots. That's the thing that's going to come out. Remember, worldliness is a spirit which is working on you and me daily. In Jude chapter 1, verse 18, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some having compassion, making a difference, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. So how can we overcome the sinful impulses of our human flesh? What does the Bible say to us in Galatians 5:16? This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What does that say? The lust of the flesh resides in you, but you'll not perform it if you're walking in the Spirit with the Lord. We can be free from the law of sin and death because Jesus Christ overcame sin in the flesh. In Romans 8, verse 1, we read, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Isn't that wonderful? For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. This is a major subject. Could really be laid out. There's lots I could say on this. But we're just really skimming the top. There it is. To think and dwell upon the Lord and his word. To be in prayer, reading his word. Not watching our cell phones or whatever. It doesn't matter what it is, spending all that time on rubbish. If Satan brings an unclean thought, don't let him remain and cultivate or conceive in you. The Bible says, resist the devil and he shall flee from you. He will flee from you if you resist him. In other words, you're going to have constant attack. He's always there to lure you in. Now, brothers and sisters, I've got to wear this like you've got to wear it. This is not my sermon. This is the word of God. Most of our read has been from the scriptures. And so we see, that's the world. Our next part is the lust of the eyes. What is the lust of the eyes? You see, we're going to speak on that next week. Because we go from the lust of the eyes, and then we go to the other ones, the pride of life. And they all have a lot of things in there which are similar but actually subtly different. So I pray that God will bless us. What is wrong with worldliness? Oh, brother and sister, you should know now there's a lot wrong with it. And we're going to avoid it like the plague. More than COVID-19. A lot more than COVID-19. COVID-19 to destroy your body, but not your soul.
the world, worldliness will destroy your soul and your body. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So I would just stand for prayer. Lord Jesus, we come to Thee and thank Thee for Thy wonderful word to fortify us, to protect us, the sword of the Spirit, shield of faith, Lord. Because we are in a warfare, very much so, Lord. We've got to be guarded against these things that trouble every saint. All the time we've been trying to be influenced, Lord, just with a simple thought, like that little coral insect, untouched, unnoticed, that could destroy a whole navy. Lord, how much we need to be careful. What we're listening to, what we're thinking about, what we're dwelling on. Let us dwell upon You. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Lord, let our hearts be exercised in this. Let us not be caught into this worldliness, Lord, this evil spirit that's lurking here in New Zealand overseas in a big way. The world don't even know You. They're trampling over Your word, ignoring You. But the children of God will stand firm. We may be persecuted, but we're going to stand firm. We thank You for this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I wonder if we can sing that song. On Christ the solid rock I stand. My hope is built on nothing less, Brother Peter. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Did not trust the sweetest grace, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ's Son, in rock I stand. Oh, is sinking sand. Oh, darkness seems to veil His face. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ's solid rock I stand. Lather ground. All other ground is sinking sand. It is on His covenant and blood, support me in the overwhelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, then is all my hope in sand. On Christ's solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Other ground is sinking sand. Let's sing the last verse. I wonder if Brother Taz would like to come up, Brother Taz, and just close in prayer for us. That'd be really great. Thank you. You can come, Brother.
When He shall come with trumpet sound, then His righteousness alone, faultless to stand. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, You are indeed the rock of ages. Lord, You are our salvation. You are our security. You are our fortress. You are indeed the rock. That rock, Lord, that comes to challenge any other rock that we might be trying to lean on in our lives. You are a jealous rock. Lord, you don't want us to have any other rocks in our lives. Rocks of the world, rocks of the flesh. You don't want us to have any of that stuff around. You're a jealous Savior. And we thank you, Jesus. Not only did you give your life a ransom to save us from our sins, but you rose triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. Lord, to tell us, Lord, that in you we make it. In you, Lord Jesus, we're already in that high place with you. We are seated up in the heavenly places. We are seated in you, Lord Jesus, at the right hand of God, that place of highest favor. And again, O Jesus, you are our great high priest, ever making intercession for your people, for your sheep, for your flock. And Lord, your intercession, your mediation on our behalf will never fail. The work that you have begun in us, Father, you have said that you will finish it. You will get us home. You will glorify those who belong to you. And so, Father, we praise you and we worship you. Thank you for your word. Your word that comes, Lord, to challenge us, to enlighten our hearts as to things that we have to watch out for. Lord, you remind us to work at our faith with much fear and trembling, because as our brother Howard has warned us, Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus, you said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So, Father, we praise you and worship you, O God, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah.